Okay. Open your Bibles to Daniel. I'll try not to ruin this, brother. I know you're looking at me. There used to be coasters there. All right. Well, we had a good trip coming up. Thank you for your prayers. We did caravan this time. So me and Matt didn't have any problems on the road. So we thank God for that. We got here without any problems. And we were even able to bring Lila back up. Amen. I know. Everybody here was praying for her, and she's about the spunkiest one of the four they got. So we thank the Lord for that. Daniel chapter 7. Let's go ahead and pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we're able to meet together, like the brother said, in a nice place. Lord, we just thank you that you are merciful, Lord, that you've given us this place. But more than that, we are blessed to have you among us, Lord. Thank you for not only visiting us, thank you for calling us, thank you for using us. And we just ask, Father, that you just help us to continue to fulfill that calling that you called the church to do, Lord. We just ask that you just keep us and help us to be in your will, and help us to accomplish everything you have for us, Lord. We're not ready to be put aside. We want to do more. Help us to have that attitude, Lord, to want to accomplish everything that you have for us, Lord.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, for the pastors. Ask you protect and watch over each one of them, Lord. Thank you for all the missionaries, Lord, that you brought up here, Lord. You just fill them with your words this week, Lord. The brethren that attend this week, Lord, I ask you just help us to stay alert, to listen to you, to hear something, Lord, that you have for us, Father. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Daniel chapter 7. And there's a little phrase that caught my eye. We spent several weeks down there in Puebla studying the book of Revelation and going back and forth, and man, I'm not a theologian. I don't even know how to pronounce the word, but I definitely, all those weeks and 3 weeks and 70 weeks and all that stuff, I don't know. That's just some interesting stuff there. But I do know Jesus is coming back, right? And I do know that I'm going to be in that group. I know when I hear that trumpet, I'm out of here. I'm hoping that we're out of here before things get really rough. I know when we were looking through all that, you know, there's mid-trib and post-trib and all that stuff. And I'm thinking, man, I just don't know. Because I don't like pain, I want to be out of here before. So I'll just stick to that. And ain't no use, fretting and being worried about going through the tribulation or halfway or whatever. I want to be out here, as quickly as possible. But, when we were looking at this and, a certain verse, just a phrase in the verse caught my eye, chapter 7 and verse 25, talking about our enemy. And it says, "In the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall rise, and shall rise after them, and he shall," 24, I'm sorry, I'm reading 24, "be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings," 25, "and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand unto a time and times and the dividing of times." And the phrase that caught my eye was that phrase, "and shall wear out the saints." You know, that's something that Satan does. He tries to wear you out. And as I was thinking, I think in 50 years, we just celebrated, right, 50 years that the Lord has been, you know, has raised this church up. And then, is it 49? Did they say 50?
This is 50.
50. All right, 50. 50 years as sending out missionaries. And even though we haven't been physically sending out, listen, 50 years you've been sending out missionaries, right? I mean, you've kept us on the field. Some have come back. Praise God. They've come back and they're still serving,
amen.
Right? You have a couple of pastors here that are, that came from the mission field. So that's a huge testimony.
Amen.
But 50 years sending, missionaries. That's an incredible thing. But you know, it says here that Satan likes to wear us out. Right? And, you know, when you look up that phrase, to wear out, to exhaust someone, right? It's to be used until it's not in good condition anymore. You know, I mean, I have a vehicle and I thank God for that vehicle that I have. And even though we use it every single day, and we go preaching and we travel and I've traveled. We had the youth camp. We had men's meeting. I go all over the place. And every time I leave, Karen says, is it going to make it? I think, yes, it's going to make it. It's going to make it. It's a good car. It's a good vehicle. And it makes it. It makes it. One day it'll just be worn out too, you know, and it just won't make it. And that's okay. But things get worn out even more when you don't use them. You know, isn't that funny? You can have a brand new house. I don't understand it. A brand new house. If no one lives in it, it falls apart.
That's right.
But you get somebody in there and they start living it and it looks worn, but it looks like it's been lived in. It looks good. Well, you know, it also says to be gassed, right? Do you feel gas sometimes? Yeah, I know. You know, I looked up that word. I understand gas as like, you know, being worn out. But you know, there's other definitions for gas. Nowadays, the kids, you know, when they say gas, it means they're like high or something. I don't know that. But gas in old age terms means you're just worn out. Right, you're gassed. You know, it's like they're in Puebla. We have the largest pyramid in the world. Do you know that? The largest pyramid in the world is in Cholula, Puebla. Not large as in height, but in area. Gotta come visit it. But I climbed that thing. Right, it took me about, I don't know, 20 minutes or so. It's not a very hard climb. But once I climbed it, I was gassed. I was worn out. I wanted to sit down. You know, I climbed that thing one time. I think, you know, never again. My mom came visiting me last year and she wanted to climb it. 89 years old. She wants to climb the dumb thing. So I said, no. We'll just look at it from down here. Nope. She takes off walking. It might have taken us 30 minutes, but we were both gassed by the time we got up there. On the way down, it was a little bit faster. You know, you look at that word and it's to wear out. It's to finish something off. You know, that's what the devil wants. He wants to finish us off. He wants to gas us. You know, he wants to exhaust us. He wants us to be used so we're not in good condition. You know, he wants us to get to a spot where we cannot be used anymore due to damage. You know, it's one thing serving God and you get damaged, right? Serving God. We're all going to get damaged, right? But you'd rather, it'd be much better to get damaged doing good things than being damaged doing bad things,
yeah.
Right? I mean, you look at some of the saints in here, you know, a few of the saints. I'm not going to mention any names, but there's some saints in here that looked a little damaged, right? But it's because of age. You're damaged, right? And it's not damaged as a bad thing, right? I mean, it's a damage. I look at Brother Lindo, I think, man, he's damaged. But we're all, if the Lord gives us life, we're going to be damaged just like that. I mean, that's what I'm hoping for, right? I'm hoping to serve God and continue focused and living a life and get into that age where I'm going to be damaged, but I'm going to be damaged serving God and being joyful, doing what I can. You know, sometimes when you get up there, I talked to somebody this morning and, you know, asked about their dad and they said, well, you know what? He just doesn't hear anymore. You know, and it takes him a long time to get up and get moving. So sometimes he just doesn't come. Well, you know, we're all going to get there. And that's a damage, I think, that I can look forward to. I can accept that. But you know, I don't want to be damaged. I want the devil to wear me out with stuff that is hindering me from serving God. Amen. You know, when I think about that, 50 years, wow, sending missionaries, man, I know the Lord's coming back. He's coming back soon. That is so clear in my mind. And we should be looking forward to that, right? Yeah. What does it say over there in Thessalonians? The dead in Christ shall rise first, right? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. That's going to be a good day.
Amen.
That's going to be, you know, whenever you feel yourself getting worn down, feel yourself getting a little bit exhausted, why don't you think on that? Why don't you think on that, that one day we're going to hear that trump, one day we're going to hear that call, and I don't know how that is all going to work out. I don't know if it's going to be in a blink, we're going to see everything, or I just don't know. It's going to be a cool day, I know that. But the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we're going to meet them in the clouds? Man, that's going to be a good day.
Yeah.
You know, in the meantime, the devil's trying to wear you out, right? Trials in life, social injustices, you know, just different things. I mean, you know, we see it. When I was thinking about the mission conference this year, I mean, I didn't know. Are we going to see a full house? Are we going to see half a church? Are we going to see, you know, people? I don't know, you know, but you know what? I don't care. I'm going to prepare a message and I'm going to prepare, you know, I want God to speak to me and bring something for the church, whether it's 1 or 20 or 50 or 100. It doesn't matter to me, right? I don't want to let that number get me worn out, right? And it does sometimes. You know, I know sometimes, and you guys might not understand this, but if you ever gone to a street, I know you don't do too much street preaching here as far as on a physical street. But in Mexico, it's possible to do that. The houses are so smashed together, and so everyone's gonna hear. I mean, you got the sidewalk and the front door's right there. So it's not like Texas where you have to walk 100 yards to get to the front yard, I mean, to get to the front door, right? But in Mexico you can. But even though the houses are all smashed and you're all, on a block and you preach, lots of times people don't come out. Well, you know, that can be a little discouraging. That can wear you out.
Yeah.
Right? I can wear going street after street after street, going downtown, doing what God called us to do, and not seeing what we want to see can get you worn out. You know, but we shouldn't let discouragement like that mess with us. Right? People are less interested nowadays. You notice that? They're less interested. I remember when we first went down to Mexico 30 years ago, 31 years ago, whatever it was, I could actually sit on the street and talk to people there in Irapuato for a long time. We show up on the street, people are outside listening, we had to sit down and actually talk to people. I remember going downtown in Irapuato. Our groups, Joe, Brent, Bill, our groups, man, we had 20, 30 people around us. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, people were like, I mean, I don't know if they were interested. I think they were more interested in fighting with us. But some of those people actually were interested. Some of those people, I think, you know, were back there listening and saying, what is going on? Why are they hating these people so much? But interest. Sometimes, we don't get, a lot of people interested and that can definitely wear us down. right? It can discourage us. How about internal fightings? Yeah. That can discourage us. That can wear us down, you know? And we can't be ignorant of these devices that Satan uses. Yeah. I mean, he uses this stuff. He brings in these internal fightings. We got to be aware of that. But you know, God desires us to press forward. That's what God wants us to do. In the midst of all this, in the midst of the devil trying to wear us out, and it does say he wears out, he's trying to wear out the saints. Galatians 6:9, it says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Yeah. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. All right? It says over there in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, that is an incredible verse because of where it's found.
Yeah.
The Corinthian church.
Yep.
If there's ever a church that you could say, man, that is like crazy.
Yeah.
You know, that what we did there was probably a lot of it in vain. Paul says it wasn't in vain. I went there. He preached. God saved. God built a church there. Even with all those problems, it wasn't in vain. Paul says.
Yes.
2 Timothy 3:14, it says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. You know what's going to keep you from being worn out? If you continue in the things that you're being taught, right? And that you're sure of. I'm telling you, there's a lot of things I won't be able to explain to you. I mean, I know people that can explain, like I said, you know, the book of Daniel, Revelation, some of those things. You know, and my son-in-law does a pretty good job trying to teach me, but I just don't know. You know, I think that's just some interesting things. But like I said, what I do know, I'm saved. That's what I do know. I know that. I know that one day he's going to be coming back for me, right? And I know until that day, I just need to keep doing what I learned.
Amen.
I need to keep holding what I know is sure. Right? And it says there, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. I thank God for my pastors. I thank God for people that know this book and they teach me. But you know who taught them? God. Right? I know what we have. I know the doctrine we have. I know what I'm doing. I know the fact that me being on the field for so long, the reason why I can be there is because I know who called me to do this. If I didn't know that, if I wasn't assured of the calling that God gave me as far as to serve Him, man, I'd be worn out. I'd be damaged. I'd be no good for nothing. I want to talk to you this morning about five ways that Satan wears you out, and I want to talk to you also about Daniel. And why it seems like he didn't get worn out. Just real quick, before the real preaching starts. Just real quick. Five ways. And look, I know, you know, like I said, we're all going to be touched with some physical problems. Right? I'm not saying and there's people like that, right? Every physical, every illness, oh, it's from the devil. It's not that way. But we can't deny that the devil does touch our bodies.
Yeah.
It says over there in Job 2:7-8 that he was smote, that the devil smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Right? So sometimes the devil wears you out physically. Right? And it can be through a lot of different ways, but mostly, it's probably, lots of times I think about over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where it's talking about the Lord's Supper. And it's very interesting, isn't it? That it says some are sick among you, right? And I'm thinking, you know, did God send that? What's going on? What happened here? And it's interesting that before that, he was dealing with them on gluttony, right? because they were having these large feasts and like totally ignoring what the Lord's Supper was supposed to be about. Well, you know, lots of times sicknesses, I think we bring them on ourselves.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we're too excessive on some things.
Yeah.
Right? And I know. I shouldn't be talking, right? But it does happen. Right? Well, sometimes the devil wears you out that way. Paul. What did Paul say in Corinthians, the second book, 12:7? It says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. I've read that people believe that was his sight. I have no idea. One thing I do know, somebody was bothering him. And he pinpointed that, something in his flesh, and he pinpointed that to the devil. He was trying to wear him out. He was trying to get him to stop. Somehow, some way, sometimes it might be something physical. You know? Sometimes it might be, and it might not be something that is sin from Satan. I'm not saying, you know, like I said, not everything, right? But it might be something, you know, you and I are defective, right?
Amen.
We are defective. I know you're not going to believe me, but I stutter. You know, when I was a kid, oh man, I was a stuttering little boy. And then something happened. I don't know. I still stutter, right? A little bit comes out. I got to force myself. I hate reading out loud. I get nervous, right? Matt gets here and he works with me and he always wants to have devotions. We always got to read out loud. I'm thinking, no, I don't want to read out loud, Matt. I'm going to get nervous, you know? But hey, we've been reading out loud for a while now. I have to beat that,
yep.
Right? Got to beat it. Because that stuff can make you not serve God,
yep.
Right? And that stuff will wear you out. If you have a fear of talking to people, you have a fear of serving the Lord in public, that can wear you out. Well, you know, you need to give that to the Lord and just say, you're going to have to help me. You're going to have to do something. But physically, the devil can wear you out. What about your heart in trials, right? Your circumstances. He can use that to wear you out, right? But what happened to Matt and Lauren with Lila? Man, that was wearing me out. You know? You ask Lila, how long were you in the hospital? 10 days. She says, 10 days. She said, Grandpa, I don't want to go back. I said, yeah. Out of those 10 days, I think most of those days where she was out. She was in a state of coma. Man, that wore me out. Going home, praying. And then I started thinking, why did it have to come to this? You know, it really is interesting how much you seek God when you're touched with something personal. But it shouldn't be that way.
Amen.
We should be fervently seeking God every single day.
Amen.
And just pouring ourselves out to Him every single day. What happens is we forget.
Amen.
We get comfortable.
Amen.
We walk away. And then when those things happen, lots of people fall out. Right? Why is this happening to me? I mean, why doesn't it happen to you? Right? Life happens to everybody.
Yeah.
But sometimes he uses those circumstances in our lives, trials in our life, to wear us down. How about our spiritual life? Right? And he takes away your prayer little by little. It doesn't happen like overnight.
No.
You know, oh, you know, I started off too late today. Let's just wait, you know, for another day. And you have good intentions always at the beginning of the year, right? Okay, we're going to have family devotions. Okay, we're going to have, you know, prayer time. We're going to have this. We're going to have that. And you start off really good and something happens. Life just happens. And then you start, you know, speaking to God less and less. And, well, you got to watch it because that's going to wear you out.
Yep.
You have to be in communication with God.
Amen.
How about our time? Sometimes He wears us out with our time.
Amen.
You know, it's interesting. Paul, If you look over there in Acts 24, Paul goes before a ruler called Felix. You know how many years he was there? 2 years. And this Felix guy would just call Paul up every now and again, quite often, just to pick his brain, right? He wanted to see what, you know, if he had anything new for him, right? There was, you know, nothing good on Netflix that night, so let's call up Paul. So he called, you know, he's coming, he's talking to him, they're debating certain things, and then he's also thinking, well, you know, maybe if I keep calling him, he's going to give me money, right, so I can free him. 2 whole years. Did Felix get saved? No. Have you ever felt that way sometimes? You're going downtown, you're passing out tracts, you're giving a good testimony, you're witnessing somebody in particular, and it goes by year after year after year, and nothing happens? I can wear you out. Right. But you know what? Paul didn't get worn out. Paul said, this is what I'm called to do. Right? Felix believing and Felix getting saved is not upon us. Right? It's not upon Paul. He's got to be faithful. But you got to understand that feeling we get of being worn out, about not going out and doing the same thing over and over and over again, we got to be careful, because your enemy, Satan, uses that to try to wear us out.
Amen.
Another thing, how about your sanctification? Right? Sometimes he uses that to wear us out. We all know the story of Samson, right? In Judges. Right? He goes there and he's being pressed by Delilah with her words every single day. Pressing. And he's telling her, oh, it's this, it's that, here's where I get my... And finally he just gives in. Well, you got to be careful. Man, this world lots of times presses you and presses you and presses you.
Amen.
And you're strong. But if you just keep letting it press you, you're going to fall.
Yes.
You know, you are wise, especially the young people. You would be wise to surround yourself with spiritual people.
Amen.
Right? You would be wise, young people,
yep,
to lose friends.
Yes.
Yep.
Right? I used to love telling Lauren that. She'd look at me kind of funny. But I'd tell Lauren when she'd go to school, lose a friend today, Lauren. She's, you're crazy, Dad. What's wrong with you? Right? You'd be very wise. Surround yourself with godly people. Surround yourself with people that will push you to be more godly. Man, you're going to save yourself a lot of problems.
Right?
But we are called. I mean, it says right there where we read in Daniel, it says that he wears out the saints. We are saints. If you're saved, you are a saint, right? You are consecrated. You are separated. You should be living a separated life. You are set apart for his service. Now, Daniel, he served under several kings, right? 4 or 5 kings he served under. And he didn't get worn out. He was faithful. He just kept on going. How is it that Daniel did not get worn out? Well, one thing that we see in the book, and of course, I'm just going to tell you where to look. But if you see in Daniel chapter 2, when he was in captivity, remember how it starts off and they change their names and their diet and all that stuff, right? I mean, he just went along with it. He said, fine, whatever. You know, you do what you got to do. I'm going to serve my God. Right? They wanted to give him all this food that God told him not to do, and he said, I'm not going to do it.
Yep.
Right? But I'll try to make a deal with the guy that's over me. Right? I said, look, you know, just try us. You know, you'll see. I'm not going to get skinny. I'll be fat. I'll be good. And it worked. God was faithful. God helped him. Right? But then you get to chapter 2, and the king has a dream. The king has a dream, and he's wanting an answer. So much so that all his sorcerers or whatever, witches or whatever he had there, they couldn't answer it. And so he said, all you guys are going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Daniel hears that. He says, hey, hang on. You know, I got a couple friends of mine. Let us get together. Let us seek. And it says there in chapter 2, a few times, the God of heaven. Right? That's our God. Yeah. The God of heaven.
Yeah.
Right? And they seek him, and he gives them the answer to what they need. Right? Well, you know, sometimes in whatever situation we're in, whatever bad situation we're in, we can't forget who we serve.
Yes. Amen.
You don't want to get worn out. You want to continue. You don't want to be gassed in this life serving God. Remember who you serve. Right? When we're thinking about, you know, this week, and obviously we're going to be talking about, hey man, anybody that wants to go, do something, you know, we need more workers in Mexico, need more workers in Puebla, digo, I'm getting mixed up in Spanish, in Poland. Definitely need more workers. And when we think about that, we're thinking, man, how are we going to do this? You know, how are we going to send more people? Well, because we got to remember who we serve, right? When you get trouble trying to serve God, have you ever gotten in trouble trying to serve God? And all you're doing is trying to do his will? Yeah, sometimes that does happen, right? Sometimes people kick you out of the country, never to come back, right? Sometimes people get put in jail and die in jail, right? We're so blessed living over here on this side. I mean, we think the whole world is just like us. We can go and preach and have the freedom to meet. We're thinking, man, yeah, the whole world's like that. The whole world isn't like that. There's a lot of people who meet or who are meeting today in secret. And you and I, air conditioned. You know, we need to not forget who we serve when we think about the future.
Thank you, Lord.
Man, who knows? Another 10 years, another 50 years? You and I don't know how long it's going to be. It's going to be soon.
Yeah.
We know that. But we should not be consumed about the future as far as uncertainty. Yeah, we're going to do our best. We're going to try to provide for our future, you know, provide for, you know, getting old and, you know, damaged and everything else. We're going to try to do our best. But you know what? You cannot be, full of fear. Look, God's already been to the future and back.
Right.
He knows exactly how this is going to turn out. And lots of times when I'm in that situation, when I'm in a pretty scary situation, that thought always comes to my mind. Well, if it ends here, God already knows and I'm ready.
Yeah.
What about when you're in conflict? You got to remember who you serve, right? In the same book, we see where Meshach and his crew, they got thrown into a fiery furnace. And there was a fourth one there.
Yep. Amen.
Isn't that crazy? Yep. They put three people in. And yet, they looked in there and there was a fourth one. Do you believe that? I believe it.
Yep, amen.
I have no doubt in my mind, Jesus Christ was right in there in the midst.
Right, amen.
And I'm thankful for that verse because what it reminds me, of who I serve, and no matter what situation I'm in, he's right there with me.
Yep, amen.
Everyone else can leave, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But my God, he's right there with me.
Amen.
What about that? What about that time with Stephen? Right? Isn't that to me, it blesses me. I mean, it's sad that he went out pretty quick. But it blesses me that whenever he was on his way out, he looked up and Jesus was like,
yep.
Come on up. Come on up. Right? He was right there in the middle of it. He didn't stop the rocks. He didn't slaughter the people. He said, man, this is your trajectory. You know, this is your life. You have to end this way, but it's only going to sting for a bit. And then you're going to walk right into my presence.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Conflict. Bible says over there in 1 Peter 4:12, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." And it's not strange. You are in a trial, something happens, whether it's health, whether it's financial, whether it's whatever it is. Everybody abandons you, whatever it is. Don't look at it strange. Are you in the will of God? Are you walking well with God? Are you in good fellowship with God? And God knows the end of this. Ephesians 6:16 says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked."
Amen.
You know, when we're in conflict, we can expect God to be there. And he gives us solutions. Incredible. You know, I think of 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 21, remember the story where David goes, he's running from Saul. Saul's trying to kill him. He shows up to the priest there. Ahimelech. He shows up to the priest and he says, "I'm hungry. Do you got something to eat?" And he goes, "Man, I just got this bread. It only belongs to the priest." He said, "But if you kept yourself clean, I'll give it to you." "All right. I'm clean. Give me the bread." And then he picked up that sword of Goliath. Remember, he said, "Man, do you have a weapon here?" "Yeah, I got a sword of Goliath." "Okay, give it to me." So then he goes, the next thing you see, he goes to the land of Gath, and he shows up, and there's a king there, Achish, Abimelech. He's there, and he's looking at David, and his men are looking at David, and the people start singing. "Hey," or, you know, they start saying, "Isn't this the guy that killed his 10,000s? Isn't this the guy that's anointed?" And David starts getting a little bit scared, right? He was in conflict. He started fearing it a little bit. He said, "Man, they are going to kill me," right? You know what God gave him to get out of that mess? And it had to be from God, right? All of a sudden, David thought to himself, and he called out to God, because if you read Psalms 34, and if you read Psalms 52, where it talks about what happened in 1 Samuel 21, if you read those two Psalms, you'll find out that David calls out to God, right? He calls out to God, and God answered him and saved him. But you know the answer he gave to David? He told David, "Act like you're stupid, right? Act like you're crazy. Act like you're a madman." Could you imagine that? He's standing there thinking, "How am I going to get out of this?" And all of a sudden the thought that comes into his mind say, "I got to act like I'm crazy? How's that going to get me out of here?" So what does David do? He starts writing on the wall, right? He starts, you know, slobbering all over himself. He starts writing on the wall. And the king says, "Why are you bringing this madman? Don't I have enough madmen, you know, around this kingdom? Why do I need this guy?" And he lets him go. Let me tell you, in different conflicts that you have, in different problems you have, God gives you some of the strangest things to get out of it. Isn't that amazing? When my mom got saved at 73 years old, God gave me a way to witness to my mom, my sister, that was crazy. Down there in Mexico, God told me, "Take them to the Catholic Church." Conflict. I'm thinking, that can't be true, right? I want them out of Catholic Church, God. You know, there's something wrong here. No, let me tell you, when I took them to the Catholic Church, I took them to the cathedral in Toluca, I took them to the cathedral in Morelia. When they walked into these places, they were scared to death. Because Catholicism in Mexico is different than Catholicism in the United States. And they saw things that they had no idea that people actually did this. Walking on their knees into the temple on cobblestone sidewalks. Who does that? And then the idols inside? Well, let me tell you, God answers our... You cannot forget who you serve.
Yes, amen.
Sometimes those way outs, sometimes those conflicts, sometimes the problems you have aren't going to be the most logical ways out. But I tell you what, God was in that thing.
Yeah.
Because a couple weeks later, after that happened, my mom and my sister got saved the same day.
Amen.
And it was because of that.
Yeah.
They said, you guys have something that we don't have. And we want this. That's how Daniel was able not to be worn out, right? When they conspire against you, right? In Daniel chapter 6, they said, man, we don't like this guy Daniel. But we can't find fault in him. We can't find any error in this guy. You know, he serves this God that we have, that we don't want anything to do with, but we can't find error, we can't find fault. The only thing we can find is if we find a fault in his God's law. And so they set it up to where he was cast in the den of lions. Remember that story? He survived it. Look, I'm telling you this because you have to understand, we have to remember that Satan himself is trying to wear us out, and we cannot forget the God we serve.
Amen.
I mean, these are amazing rescues.
Yeah.
I mean, better than Green Beret and Navy SEALs and some of those things. I like watching those videos or those documentaries or however you say that word. And those are pretty cool. But man, nothing like this book we have here.
Amen.
God saves us and takes us out of different conflict. And God, even when it doesn't end quite like we think it should end, like Stephen. Let me tell you, that was a rescue. He did something, you know, if you mark that down in Acts, that, I always think that had to happen. Because when that happened, what did the church do? Scattered. That was the beginning of the persecution. Boom. Maybe the church was starting to get a little bit comfortable. Man, we got a big group here, right? We got 5,000 people, we got 3,000 people, we got good pastors, we got good teaching, man. I can stay here a lifetime. And all of a sudden, Stephen gets martyred and the church scatters. And guess what? People start getting saved in other places. Wow. God did something there too. That's the God we serve.
Yeah.
Another thing, I think that the reason why Daniel didn't get worn out, it says over there in Daniel chapter 2 that he had the scripture. Daniel 9, first couple of verses. He had the books. You know, that's something that we cannot forget. You want to not get worn out. You want to be in a way to where you are constantly fervent in your spiritual life. You can't forget this book.
Amen.
Not only can you not forget it, you have to daily keep reading it. But what about the preaching of God's word? That is so necessary. It says there in Timothy, 2 Book 4:2, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. 2 Peter 1:19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. You do well taking heed of that. Another thing, and I'll finish up quickly. Daniel prayed. Also, Verse 3-5. He sought God. He prayed.
Yeah,
he not only understood who was the God that he served, he had God's sure word of prophecy, but he also prayed. Like David says over there in Psalm 34, the poor prayed and God heard. Isn't it great? I mean, I look at those things. I'm glad he didn't say the rich prayed. Because I'd be like, oh man, I just missed it. Right? The strong prayed. Oh. No, he said the poor. Ah, man, that's me.
Yeah.
right? I can relate to that. The poor prayed. Sometimes you have poor faith. Right? Have you ever been there? Oh God, I believe, but increase my faith.
Yeah.
Right? I trust you, God. I don't know what's going on. And I trust you. You know I do. But my faith is so small.
Amen.
Yeah, the poor. I can relate to the poor.
Yeah.
But you know what? It says that God hears the poor.
Amen.
I think about one last thing. What kept them from being worn out? And you need to understand this. The devil knows that his time is short. It says over there in Revelation 12:12, "Wherefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil's come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time."
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says that we shouldn't be ignorant of his devices. And this is what he does. He can't have your soul if you're saved. But he can sure wear us out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? He can wear out this church. He can wear out the people. You can get so messed up in not believing in God that you're gonna not do what God wants you to do. Lest we forget that the devil wants to wear us out. He wants to wear out the saints of the Most High. Don't forget who you serve. You need to take heed to the scripture and the sermons. You need to pray. Lean not unto your own understanding. You need to pray. And one last thing. Satan hath but a short time.
Amen.
It's going to be over real quick.
Amen.
And that should make us happy. He has but a short time. So let's continue in what God has called us to do. Amen?
Amen.